Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. How are you all doing this fine week? I hope that April Fool's treats you well and that nobody gets you too good. I am not a huge April Fool's person. It's too scary. I think the worst I did was like post a photo of my hair being a different color or something, which is just dumb. April Fool's scares me, and therefore I'm going to be off of social media tomorrow because I trust absolutely no one. And by tomorrow, I mean today, recording this the night before, as usual. So good luck to everyone today. I hope that you make it through without too much heartache. Today on the show, we have Kira Reid-Lorsch. You may know her from The Bay or all of her work that she did with Playboy. She is a great actress, a fantastic humanitarian, and it was super, super fun to talk to her. So here is my conversation with Kira Reid-Lorsch. Welcome to the show, Kira.
Hey, how are ya?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. You know, I just watched for the first time Pretty Broken last week. Yeah, because I've met you and I've seen you at the Indie Series Awards and different Emmy events and stuff like that. But and I saw you in did you direct the dance movie?
To the Beat. Yeah, I directed so, both of them.
You were behind the camera. I'd seen mm-hmm. that because Lily and Martha and, you know, friends were in it. And that was such a great movie. But I hadn't really seen you act except for what was the one where it was like, the wives, the soapy one.
Ladies of the Lake.
Ladies of the Lake.
Yeah.
Which you were great. But that's the only thing I had seen you in. So I watched it and I was just so impressed by you as an actress. So I just wanted to tell you.
Thank you. That's so nice to hear. It's my favorite thing that I've done for sure. It's
awesome.
It's one of those films where you read the script for the first time and you're just like, oh, wow, a character that it actually has some depth. Fantastic.
Yeah, when you know that, like, you're made to play the part or there's so much to do or you can, like, totally just jump in their shoes. That's rare.
It's so rare. So, so rare, especially as females. I feel like most of the time we read scripts and it's like, sexy girl walks down the street with this, this, and this. And you're just like, but
I like it when I get sexy girl because I'm in my 40s. So if I get a hot mom, I'm excited. The hot mom or the
you're like cool mom.
I'll take it at this point.
I love that. So you've mentioned that we've known each other now for a little while, but I feel like I don't know really anything about your story. So what got you into acting? What was your first experience?
Well, my first experience, I was a kid. I was in school and, you know, we were, as part of our homework assignment, we had to like audition for the school Christmas pageant. And it was my first experience as an actor, and I was auditioning for, you know, the daughter or the girl, you know, of the family. And I was 6 years old. I was living in Northern California with me and my family up there. And I didn't know anything about acting. You know, I'm 6 years old. And so I'm like, okay, you know, I'm in my, you know, second grade or whatever it was, you know, school pageant. And I go and I'm listening to the feedback, like the other kids are going ahead of me and reading their little part or doing their little thing they're told to do. And the comment was, speak up. We can't hear you. Speak up. We can't hear you. So by the time it got to me, like three down, I walked into that gymnasium and I was like, whatever my line was, ho, 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 happy Christmas, da, 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 da. I just made some stuff up and I didn't get the young girl, you know, daughter part that I was auditioning for, but I got the part of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Instead, because I was so loud and boisterous. So my first role ever was Santa Claus at age 6 in the school play.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I need pictures. Please tell me there's pictures of
my mom has them somewhere. and then from there, I told my mom, I said, I like this. This is fun. I was good at it. People told me I was good at it. So it was like finally something I knew how to do. So over the next couple of years, my mom signed me up. I had a commercial agent. I was kind of the kid, you know, commercial person. This is Northern California, not LA. Mm-hmm. So it's not a big market, but I was on Romper Room. Like I said, I want to be in the TV. How do I get in the TV? I don't want to watch TV. I want to be on TV. So I knew early on, and I went to arts high school when my family moved to Louisville, Kentucky. My stepdad's from Louisville. I still have family there. Louisville. You're really from there.
It reminds me of Elizabethtown, the entire film. They're correcting people saying Louisville.
Yeah, like your mouth is full. Louisville.
Yes.
But so I went to dance there. And then when I just never really caught on to Louisville either. When you come from California, it's open-minded, it's great weather. It's like, you know, and then you go kind of more to Kentucky and it's old thoughts and a little bigoted and a little bit racist and a little bit. And I was like, you know, I don't really vibe, you know, with checking my gun at the grocery store mentality. I knew early on I wanted to hightail it back to California. So I went to the arts high school there, but then I came out my senior year of high school and I went to LA County High School for the arts. Mm. But I auditioned for the dance department and I wasn't good enough.
Oh, crud.
Yeah. They didn't, they're like, you're just not technically, you don't have enough ballet training, you know.
Ugh.
Love that. I said, well, can I audition for the theater department? They're like, you need to, you know, you go in, you do two monologues and you know, I'm like, okay. So I came back, I auditioned for the theater department and they let me in.
No way.
So I went to LA County High School for the arts. I think I was the first senior. There may have been some since, but I was the first senior they ever let into the program. I think because I just wouldn't leave until they told me I could go. I could get in. I'm like, I have no place to go. I've come from Kentucky. I don't have a place to live. You know, I have family out here. I can stay, you know, but I wanted to get residency to go to UCLA. I didn't have any money. So I always kind of had it in my brain. I wanted to, go to the theater, film and television department at UCLA. It was just, you know, I saw a football game on TV one time with, you know, UCLA cheerleaders and happy, sunshiny people in February. And I'm like, I'm going to go there. So because I had such a good training and I had experience and I started going on auditions, you know, just to as an extra, because I wanted to get my SAG card. You know,
yeah,
so I started off as an extra in high school, and then I got into UCLA. I got a scholarship to UCLA School of Theater and Television, and I could afford it because I was a California resident. And then I started working. I got my first lines. I was an extra on the original Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh my gosh!
And and then they bumped me up because I was like part of the class that was always in class with the main characters.
Yeah.
And one day they just like, okay, here's your two lines. And then I got my SAG card. So
how cool is that? What a fun story.
I worked my way up from the bottom.
Oh my gosh. So you get your SAG card from Beverly Hills 90210. Mm-hmm. And then what? Are you auditioning while going to UCLA? Are you juggling all of that at the same time?
Yeah, I really wanted to finish. I quit at one point and was running around and I I answered an ad for Playboy while I was at UCLA. They wanted, they were looking for swimsuit models to do a movie called Maui Heat. I'm in my last year of UCLA, and I'm like, well, I'll go see what that's all about. They said, well, you have to be comfortable with some nudity in it. I'm like, I had just gotten back from Greece where I was running around topless on the beach. I'm like, well, that's no big deal. Like, that's what I do in my real life anyway. So anyway, long story short, I didn't get cast as the swimsuit model. I show up with like, and I had short purple hair at one point during college because I was,
oh my God, how cute.
Like, I was not a Playboy material person, believe me. But I show up and I'm like, well, this is kind of fun. What an adventure. I go to Hawaii, go to Maui and shoot for 3 weeks. What? So they kept bringing me in for the swimsuit model part. And I'm like looking at these glamazon, beautiful blonde women, you know, and I'm feeling like such the tomboy. And so I finally get, I'm meeting the executives where I'm like audition number three. And they're like, well, we really like you. But you're not getting cast as, you know, one of the girls you've been reading for. I said, oh, that's too bad. Well, it was fun. I thought it would be an adventure. They said, no. We're writing you a part because
no way.
Yeah, you're going to be the makeup artist to the swimsuit models. So I said, really? So I got to go to Maui. I get hooked up with Playboy. Next thing you know, I'm Kira Reid here in Austria at the World Body Painting Festival. And tonight on Sexcetera, we're doing whatever we're doing. They liked me so much in that movie. I did a few things for them. I did some Zalman King stuff. And then, so I really started to work in this genre kind of as, which is really interesting because I was like the sidekick to the pretty girls in all of these kind of sexy shows. And then Playboy hired me to be the reporter. And for 12 years, I worked for Playboy while doing other things, and doing an ER, doing an NYPD Blue, doing it, you know, like in the 90s. Constantly, you know, doing little parts, but my main gig was a reporter and then producer and writer. Once I turned 30, I moved on to like create and help build TV for two with the network, shows that women and men would want to watch, and also really diversify the kind of women that they were shooting. We did a show called Naked Happy Girls, where we took real life women who it was their idea. They wanted to shoot glamour, nudity, boudoir, whatever they wanted to do, but they were tattooed. They were of all colors, shapes, sizes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was really fun to be a part of that. And I always felt that Playboy was so empowering. And back when Heck was alive, we have to remember he was a civil rights activist. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he's won NAACP awards, for God's sake, for movies made about him. I worked on one of those anyway. But and we honored him at the Playboy Mansion for the Thalians, Hollywood for Mental Health. And he gave $1 million for film restoration to my alma mater, UCLA. So I had a great time working at Playboy. And then I produced a show that was a travel show for them. I also worked, I did Newsmag from, and you learn, it's the same canon. I worked for Discovery, I worked for E, I worked for Travel Channel, doing travel shows and adventure shows. So I was doing news magazine style shows when, and finishing up one of the Playboy shows when I met my husband, who passed away, you know, Bob Lorsch. Yeah. And we got married later. I was too busy to, you know, get married and have babies. I was 37 by the time I was done running around doing that stuff. And I started producing charity events or producing my husband and producing other things. And hosting things, because he was friends with the McKenzies, you know, Associated Television.
Yeah.
So David's and Laura were like, David's like, I know you. You're that Sexcetera host. You're really good. So he hired me to do the Hollywood Christmas Parade red carpet, and I got to win backstage Emmys, the daytime Emmys when we did it here and in Las Vegas. So I got to throw to Ryan Seacrest. I got to throw to Brady and back and Regis Philbin. So I got to, it was really fun to do kind of what I was doing before in a whole new arena. And that's when I met all the daytime people who had this, the Bay, Gregory and Christos, were in the same offices as my husband in Associated Television.
Oh, funny.
And my friend Devin DeVasquez, who I knew from Playboy, married Ron Moss of The Bold and the Beautiful. So I've been friends with Devin for 20 years. I interviewed her on Sexcetera when she was, you know, the first Latina playmate ever, and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
So it's a small world. It all comes together. And then Ron, I said, why aren't I on the show? I'm an actress. You know, I know all the daytime people. Why aren't I on the Bay? So so David McKenzie called up Gregory and said, you have to meet my friend's wife, Kira. She's an actress. Put her on the show. And then I did four corners. and got nominated for a daytime Emmy, which was amazing.
Which is amazing.
Then, of course, we won some for the Bay as a producer.
Yes.
They didn't realize I was a producer. I think they thought my husband was going to help them with the show. But I was, you know, I'm the hands-on producer. Next thing you know, I'm trying to solve problems as long as I can. And then, and we had a fun time. And I'm so grateful that, you know, Wendy Rich and Gregory wrote that great storyline for me as Joe Connors. And, you know, I got to work with all those great daytime people, Mary Beth Evans, Matthew Ashford, you know, Patrika Darbo, Jackie Zeman, Nicholas Costley.
Yeah.
Oh my God, these are the people that my babysitter used to put me in front of the TV to watch. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm with them. And then of course we win an Indie Series Award for Best Ensemble Cast.
Yeah.
You know, so that was
a great cast.
Yeah, it was a really fun time. So I'm back to features.
Yeah, you're back to feature films. But I mean, that's just such a... It's so cool how everything really just kind of rolled on to the next thing, right? That's the big thing with this industry is getting that ball rolling and then sustaining it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you did that like right off the bat with Playboy. And then that took you to everything else, which is just so cool. And what I love most about this industry, because it's like everything is connected. This one project is going to take you to another project, which might take you to a different project in 15 years.
Yeah.
I think just
work
wild.
Begets work.
Yes.
Yeah. Work begets work. And, you know, from doing the Bay, I met, you know, Vincent DePaul. He introduced me to them, the group of people I've been doing a lot of work with now, the Pure Flix guys. Who would have thought I would be doing Jesus movies?
From Playboy to Jesus.
or family films. We just won a family film award. I did a movie with Vincent and Donna. It was the sequel that starred Dean Cain, Beverly Hills Christmas. And we did This Is Our Christmas too. I came on as a producer and had a little, you know, blinker, you'll miss me role in it. But
cute.
We won this week on Wednesday.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, April 22nd on the Reels Network, the Family Film Awards. And it is a small world again. Ron Moss, my friend, starred in the sequel that we won the award for in Dean Cain, the original guy, was the host of the show, and I got to this is Mama Kitty. She came to say
hi. Kitty. Hello.
Mama Kitty. Do you wanna join the family?
Yes.
She's a little street cat of Echo Park.
Baby.
Who I've had for 12 years. Now she's a house cat. Come on, she's But anyway. And then Vincent introduced me to David A.R. White, who I got to present a family film award to. And I just shot a movie with him in Malta during the pandemic. Can you believe
it? Oh my gosh, how was that?
We couldn't shoot a movie in L.A. to save our lives, but I had just done this movie with him, Beckman, where I play a soccer mom by day, a book club mom, and then I'm a human trafficking assassin by night. So I'm the bad
guy.
That's
a fun role.
Yeah. And he's like this John Wick Taken sort of guy. He was an assassin. And then he finds God and he becomes a preacher and he adopts a daughter. But then the bad guy, played by Billy Baldwin, kidnaps the daughter, the adopted daughter, back. And I'm one of the kidnappers.
I love that. I love roles that have that duplicitous nature where you can play both of these really interesting and fun choices.
Yeah, it was super fun. And when they sent me the script to it, I had just met him and had dinner with him. And we had talked about, you know, how I would fit into their kind of movies. And he said, well, what you're going to be great at is because you're willing to do the dark stuff. A lot of the pool of actors that we have, you know, that's great for romantic comedies. They have a whole network called Pure Flix. They use a lot of they repetitively use some people that are really known for that, or that's their core belief system. And then, you know, when they hire out kind of to do the wicked roles. And I'm like, no, sign me up. I want to do all the five parts. And then in Malta, they called me last minute. They originally had a British woman because they were using lots of Europeans. They had a co-production with a Maltese company. Malta, similar to Italy, had closed down right away, but they reopened back up because they had so few COVID cases. So we had to test, get on the plane, test again. And then we were put in our bubble of our production group, and we did it. There was somebody on the makeup department that tested positive right away. We were delayed a couple days, but once we were in and doing everything right, and we masked in between, and we did it, and we made a movie. But this woman who was supposed to be the lead bad guy lady fell out at the last minute, and they cast Stephen Bauer, who's a friend of mine, and I've known him for a long time. And so instead of surrounding the lead bad woman with men, they wanted to have some women as like the hench women of Stephen Bauer. So I got, I'm like, can you be in Malta in 72 hours? I'm like, yes. this is our life, you know, sit around and wait. Yep. Oh, you want to come to this crazy place where they shoot Game of Thrones and ancient cities and do a movie? So I had a small part, but they'd already worked with me. They kind of almost a similar character to Beckman. And that I was the henchwoman to Billy Baldwin, and I'm the henchwoman to Stephen Bauer. But we had the best time, and I got to present that director and David A.R. White with a Family Film Award for what they shot during quarantine right before Malta, which is the movie Finding Love in Quarantine.
Which is
everywhere now. And we also got his daughter Ocean nominated. She was the youngest nominee this year.
Aww.
And for Best Actress, which was amazing, alongside Ava LaRue. But David won for Best Actor, and the show won for Best Drama Series.
That's amazing.
It beat like The Mandalorian.
I mean, that's crazy. That's so cool.
Because it's that audience who's voting. Yeah. The Family Film Awards board and members are, they want honorable entertainment, family-friendly entertainment, all of that. So that was really fun to do.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
It's amazing that you've really gone into producing as hard as you have, right? You've gone like so hard in producing, and it shows. Like, you're producing all of these things constantly, and it's incredible.
I love it. And you probably know this too. It's like sometimes you don't want to wait around for something. Also, yep. I like producing. I'm good at it. My boss back at Playboy, who does all sorts of things, you know, besides Playboy, but he who taught me how to be a producer, is like, here, you're just a natural born producer. Mm-hmm. And I'm not technically good. I'm not like you, a director. I think there's better people than me to do that, but I'm good at organizing. I'm good at seeing the big picture.
It's the type A personality that can be like, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this is how this is going to be fixed.
Yeah. And I like it. And I get energized by it, you know? So one of the first things I did, this came out in 2019, Acts of Desperation, where I play bipolar, suicidal, crazy person who hooks up with a bank robber, of course, and you know, and it's very like Quentin Tarantino, Pulp Fiction-y, you know, intersecting lives. And I was over visiting Devin and Ron in Belgium. Ron was doing a play over there and doing some concerts. Ron Moss, and I got the script. I couldn't sleep. So I was up in the middle of the night reading the script. And by morning, I called my friend who I went to acting class with 20 years ago, who sent me the script, who also stars in this movie and is a producer along with me, Vince Lozano. He said, look at the script. This part is perfect for you. And I said, yep, let's make this movie. So we gathered some funding, we put it together. Within 3 months, we're making the movie. We got it sold. It's everywhere. You can watch it on Amazon. You can watch it on Tubi. You can buy the DVD in Walmart. And I got to, you know, executive produce, you know, a feature film, which I hadn't done in many, many years.
Yeah.
You know, I just, all of a sudden I had like, what am I going to do? I'm not producing my husband anymore, God rest his soul, and I miss him. And I'm not doing as many charity events, and I'm not producing a Beverly Hills household. I'm going to produce movies and go back to my little house in Echo Park, which I know I would do if I'm on my own. And then I did another one with my friend Donna Spangler and her partner, Britton Taylor. We played three witch sisters and Amityville Witches, which we shot in London. Right at the end of 2019, in November 2019.
Oh my gosh, you guys lucked out.
And it came out in 2020. This is everywhere now. It came out.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah.
I have my witch hats. Aunts
to the oh yes! Yes!
For everyone listening, I just showed her the coffee cup I'm drinking out of, which says you say witch like it's a bad thing.
We are good witches. We're white witches. We save her from the evil queen witch who's trying to take her powers to, destroy the world. And, you know, we made a sweet little movie over in England with these young kids who are just churning out these horror movies. And it was fun to get back into horror. And I have one lined up for as soon as we can. We're going to be shooting in Las Vegas called Third Floor, and that's written by one of my friends, Nancy O'Brien, who I met at Playboy.
And we're
in the lead. I'm the lead. She cast me in the lead of this.
Wow.
I'm escaping a serial killer, and you don't know if I'm dead or alive. And it's this really cool thing. And it started off as a short, and they put it in Cannes this past year digitally and got funded to do a feature.
Holy crud. So, that's amazing.
Yeah. And hopefully Cannes going to happen this year. I'll be going with my Malta crew for Love on the Rock, because that's going to come out in 2021. And then there's one that's submitted to Indie Series Awards as of yesterday.
Yay!
Rumors, which is, I play the acting teacher to the Hollywood kids in LA. So that's a really fun project and more of a lighter side. And I get to kind of show my softer maternal side in that one. Though I am take no nonsense and you better be prepared or leave my class, you know. But it's more just a fun.
It's incredible to listen to you talk about all these projects. I mean, you just have so much going on constantly.
It keeps you out of trouble.
It's nice. It keeps you out of trouble. We all need that here, right? But you're just constantly working, and it's inspiring to see a fellow actor who has decided to take their career in their own hands and say, I'm not waiting around for anyone to give me that yes. I'm going to give me my own yeses and figure it out.
Yeah. And we have to. I mean, it's not, you know, we're going to be discovered on Hollywood Boulevard at the soda fountain. That hasn't been the system for years.
Yeah.
And people still sort of think like, oh, you know, you have to be out there. You have to be networking. You have to put your best foot forward. And also I've learned over the years, sometimes I get sick of it, or sometimes I get frustrated. I've worked with you 3 times. You really want me to audition? Well, you have to. That's the system. Yeah. And you sort of call it in, or you're sort of resentful sometimes. And then guess what? Then you're not going to book it, because someone who's hungry and willing is going to do it. I had that experience. I was doing some independent movies, in another lifetime, 15 years ago or whatever. And I'd worked for the company a couple times, and they stopped booking me, and I realized that's what I was doing. Like, it was sort of just like, well, you know me, why do I have to prove myself? And it's like, we have to constantly fight for it and put our best foot forward and do good work, not only to feel good about ourselves, but to, you know, to keep out there and doing it.
It's true. I was talking with someone last week about this, and it's, if you don't keep that sense of fun and adventure when you're looking at every single script, every single role, every audition that you get, then you're just going to fall into this land of resentment and just anger, because you're like, oh, I have to do this again. But if you look at it and say, oh, look, a new adventure, then hey, it's going to be a lot better for you.
Yeah, and just liking the process. Like, instead of like, oh, I have to audition, being like, okay, I get to act today. And how fun is it that even before COVID, we were doing the self-taping and stuff for a couple of years. So we're so used to it that, you know, you don't have to leave the house. You don't have to drive in traffic, blah, blah, blah. So instead of resenting it, I almost think of it as like a fun, like, oh, goody, I get to act today, you know?
Yeah. And it's kind of fun to like be able to set it up in your own house and figure it out. And I like the ability to watch my takes and say, you know what, that wasn't the best one. Let's do it again.
Yeah. To be able to put your best foot forward. And I've had that happen where like I've been in an audition and I didn't know like an eyelash had fallen off. And then you walk out of there and you go to the bathroom and you're like, nobody even told me I had an eyelash, you know, like my false eyelash was like half, you know, on my cheek, you know, or,
oh
you
gosh. Know, or, speaking or you of auditions.
That day and you blank out or something and it happens and, you know, now we don't have to deal with those sort of nerves.
It's true. Yeah. And speaking of auditions, what on the show we like to share audition stories that are either bad or sad or great, you know, something that you wanted that you didn't get, anything that you feel comfortable sharing. Do you have a story that you would like to share with everyone?
Well, I have one that's semi-recently, just because I thought it was so cool.
I
there was a breakdown that came out, you know, on Actors Access. This is a couple of years ago. And I wasn't auditioning at the time. I was being offered some things, or people sending me scripts. I wasn't even with my agent formerly, you know, formally anymore. So I wasn't going out a lot, but I see this breakdown and it says looking for a Kira Reid type.
No way.
Yeah. So because it was somebody who used to be like a playmate, who's now the head of an adult company, and she's the mother of the lead girl, you know, feisty brunette, Akira Reed type. And I'm like, no way. I'm going to do this. So I submit myself and my reel and a couple of scenes, but I submit under my married name, Kira Lorsch, because I just want to see if they even put it together. So I submit, they give me an audition. I do the self tape. Hi, I'm Kira Lorsch, and da da da. And I do the scenes. I get cast. All of this sight unseen because it was all done digitally.
Yeah.
It's a show called Female Friendly, and it came out. It did some indie series-y stuff kind of stuff last year, and it's a comedy. And it wasn't until the day I got to set on the first day that they realized it was me. And it wasn't until I told them. They're like, you know, we cast you, like we're a fan of, you know, Kira Reed from her movies and Playboy. And you're just so, I'm like, I am Kira Reed Lorsch. And we all became fast friends. And these, you know, young 20s girls, how would they even know? But they grew up, you know, having seen, you know, I was the girl that they could relate to of all of the Playboy girls. You know what I mean? So anyway, I thought that was really fun, and we're still friends, and they're doing great things, and Chelsea and Taylor, and
that's amazing.
Yeah, so that's a fun audition story. I love that.
I love that they didn't connect the dots until you were actually there and told them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was a great story. I wanted to give you a moment to talk about your foundation that you run, because you do some amazing work, and I just want everybody to know what it is and everything that you're doing, because it's incredible.
Thank you. Yes, the Robert H. Lorsch Foundation was started by my husband, and he left me with some money to give away. I can't buy shoes with it, but I can give it to good causes because it's foundation money. And one of the things that he was very passionate about and he helped found was the California Science Center, which as of today is now open again.
Yay. Short,
you know, smaller capacity, and you have to reserve online. So if you go to californiasciencecenter.org, you can now make a reservation to visit and see the space shuttle Endeavor and go to ecosystems and see the aquarium and go through the exhibits. So we're back open, and the IMAX is there. It's just at, I believe, 25% capacity. Mm-hmm. But we're back in business after being shut down for a year. In fact, the Discovery Ball at the California Science Center, our big fundraiser of the year, was March, I think, 6th or 7th of last year.
Oh, wow.
It was the last event I was at until the Family Film Awards this week, where it was a group event where there was a you know, people sitting at tables having dinner, you know, having a red carpet, you know. Things are different now, but anyway, the Science Center's back in business, and you enter the museum or the IMAX through the Robert H. Lorsch Family Pavilion.
Aww.
So I'm on the board. I have been for 10 years and or more, since 2010. And I love supporting them and all they do with science learning for everyone and having it free. I think there's a charge to make a reservation, but it's like $2. You know, it's just to cover the fees of what it costs to use the system. But you can go to all this stuff and see it for free, which is great. So that's one of the things we support. And then we've just started a little bit more in with mental health, which I was on the board and I'm the president of the Thalians Hollywood for Mental Health for many years. I've since my term is gone. I stepped down, but I took over when Debbie Reynolds founded it. And when Debbie and Carrie died on the same day, basically, I was on the board and I took over as president for Debbie from there for a couple of years in the transition. And now the focus is on returning veterans and their family who are wounded with UCLA Operation Mend. So it's mental health for them and their families. And like, these guys go to Afghanistan and Iraq and got blown up, and they're burned or missing limbs or hands and these things. So it's like where it's needed most.
Yeah.
And I think there's a big spotlight on mental health right now because of the pandemic and everybody isolated or change or disappointment or loss of work and loss of jobs or loss of their homes. Or having to, you know, make all these sort of transitions. So I think mental health is really important. And that's why I've teamed up with the Imperfectly Perfect campaign. It's out of Australia. And me and a lot of our, some of our friends, you might, if you go to imperfectlyperfect.org, you'll recognize some faces from our industry, and people who share their stories of struggling with mental health, as I think everybody does.
Everyone does. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we support mental health, and of course we support the kitties and the doggies.
Yay. So, my favorite.
One of my best friends from Playboy. Remember that story about the first movie I got playing the swimsuit?
Yes.
The model makeup artist. She was the editor in chief of the swimsuit issue of the Maui Heat magazine.
Oh my gosh.
And Dawson, who's now Kim Sill, she's married to executive music producer, Joel Sill, who's, it's like he did was the executive music producer for Forrest Gump. Like he's a big deal
movie
music producer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terminator and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But anyway, she started, because it's what her love is, shelterhopepetshop.org.
Aww.
And my doggy Missy, come here. My doggy Missy's from there. We just did a cat spay neuter sponsored by the Robert H. Lorsch Foundation. Come here, Missy.
I am obsessed with dogs so much.
She's my Shelter Hope Pet Shop puppy. Look at this
girl. Oh, hi, baby girl.
I used to do the Beverly Hills Courier Rescue Dog of the Week with the Shelter Hope Pets when we lived there. Now someone else does it. And I did the CBS 2. I was the pet lady on Fridays.
Oh, my gosh, cute.
So she was one of my girls who didn't get adopted. I had two other dogs at the time. Baby. But she just kind of came in and... she took over and we fell in love with her. And when nobody adopted her, you know, we just decided to keep her. And she's been with me for 10 years now.
Oh, but my gosh. You can
support shelterhopepetshop.org.
Shelterhopepetshop.
Yeah. So they take, they rescue dogs usually from shelters, but they can come from people just dumping dogs somewhere. And they have a whole foster system.
Oh, good. Well,
they have fosters who take care of the dogs, then in a mall setting so that people don't have to go to the shelter. They can come to the nice mall out in Thousand Oaks or Sacramento or Santa Clarita. They've now have a chain of how to do it, like a canon of how to run these pet shops. And they've saved thousands and thousands of lives.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah.
I'm such a dog fanatic. So yay! I love hearing that. Well, it has been incredible to have you on the show, Kira. You are it's amazing to hear your story and everything that you've accomplished and all the things that you're working on. It's just like, I don't even know how you sleep, but
thank you. I'm sleeping well these days.
Good. It was incredible. And, I was really happy to talk to you today. How do people find you on social media?
You can go to KiraReedLorsch.com. I'm assuming you'll have the spelling of my name somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes, everyone.
Yeah. Or at Kira Reed Lorsch everywhere on Instagram, on Facebook, Twitter. And now I'm on TikTok.
Yes.
Like I still am not doing the dances so well, but, you know, I'm there. It's fun.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for stopping by today. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you. Great talking to you. And I hope to see you soon.
Thanks again to Kira for coming on the show and spending some time with me. Make sure to check out her new film, Beckman. It is now available wherever it is that you buy or rent films. Go watch it. And go to the California Science Center, because it's open again. And it's super cool, so you should go check that out. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it right now. Give us some reviews, some stars. We love that. And tell your friends, tell your family, tell Bradley Whitford, please. If you know Bradley Whitford and you're listening to this, please tell him about my show. I was looking at the Entertainment Weekly anniversary issue of The West Wing hanging in my office. So I was looking at that. Make sure to follow the show on social media if you haven't already. Those links are in the show notes. I've started posting some really cool little clips from every interview the day after the interview comes out. So a new IGTV will be up tomorrow, Friday, with a special clip from this episode with Kira.
And we're doing that every week now. And if you guys want to see the full episode, we're thinking of launching a way to do that. So if that is of interest to you, please comment anywhere on social media or send us a message. Thank y'all for supporting us. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.